Kate Brown is the executive director of the Global Island Partnership, an organization that enables island leaders and their supporters to take action to build resilient and sustainable island communities. Kate is a passionate advocate for the islands. She is a valued and trusted international partnership and collaboration leader with a unique ability to connect dots for issues and people. Kate has extensive experience in all island regions globally and brings an extensive network of island leaders, blue sky thinkers, and people dedicated to supporting islands. A strategic thinker who is able to present clear ideas and set up the right conditions for collaboration to thrive. Kate is originally from New Zealand and lived for 8 years in Apia, Samoa. Kate is on the line with us now, also on our 531 PI Facebook Face Live. Talofa lover Kate, and thank you so much for making time for us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure indeed. First of all, your background, where did you grow up, and what major turns in the road of life has led you down this path of working with our island communities?
Yeah, I actually come from Tauranga Moana up in the Bay of Plenty. And I spent the first 14 years of my life there, growing up in a large Māori family, which is, kind of living together. We spent a lot of time living with my grandmother and grandfather and, living kind of a Māori life. And then we moved to Australia when I was a teen, and then I lived a weird Australian life for a while, very separate from other people. And then I lived in Fiji and also to Samoa. And actually, I married a Samoan man called Faloniko Vitolio, and we're still married to this day. And we've just come back from living in the US. So we came back last year in January. And so that's basically it. I used to work in Samoa at SPREP. So I've had actually the benefit of working or at least visiting almost every Pacific Island country. And I really don't take that for granted. But the last 10 years I've been working kind of more globally based in Washington, D.C. And about 2 years ago I needed to bring my kids back to New Zealand, to our whānau in Tauranga, and to just grow up there. So some of my kids were born in Samoa in the National Hospital, and they strongly identify as Samoans even now. So we're living in Mount Maunganui.
Wow, wow, wow. What a journey life has been for you. So village life to me sounds like it was not that foreign to you, having been brought up in your early life in what sounded to me like a village environment.
Yes, very much so. I think it wasn't a huge transition living in Samoa. Living in an open whale was a bit different, but but really just the idea of whānau or ainga, of helping each other, the values that are really important, the strong faith as a kind of backbone of how we interact with each other. These are all similar between, I think, Māori and Pacific Islanders. And funnily enough, since we've come back, my husband has actually made a uru for my whānau up on Aomarae. And they think it's so delicious and fast compared to digging a hangi and burning all that wood. that they've kind of asked him to just make them forever now. And so, yeah. And I'm not sure he's that keen.
But oh, that is
every
so
time
funny.
I see my uncles, they're like, oh, make an Umu look there. And then also I discovered how much they love Palusami, which obviously is my favorite food in the world, so I agree with that. But our struggle in Kona is taro leaves. We don't have any. So we're always thinking about how we'll get some from Auckland. But actually, you know, these food things, there's a lot of shared food culture things as well. One of the things I've discovered, you know, being back in New Zealand, well, firstly, I have a weird accent. But people ask me really about every second day if I'm Samoan. And even if I say words in Maori, they think that I pronounce it like a Samoan. So I'm, what am I going to do? I'm like, no, I'm not Samoan. But, you know, and I think I just feel very blessed because I was able to convince my board that I could leave my job that I was doing in Washington, D.C., working with islands on sustainability, to moving to Kauranga and doing it there. And so, you know, the first 6 months of our time back from the U.S. last year, I think I wanted to kiss the ground every day. I was so happy to be back. And we remain really happy just to be with our whānau. You know, I tell people, you're never alone if you're in a Maori or a Pacific Island family, unless you want to be. You can never be alone. So, you know, we always have a lot of things. I've rejoined our choir that I was in when I was a kid, and have my old aunties guiding me and my uncles. And I think it makes me feel about 6 years old, but still getting told off. So some of those things are very similar to life in the Pacific. I think when I lived in the US and spent a lot of time in Washington, New York, I always championed Pacific issues and tried to connect Pacific Island issues and people into these important conversations that are going on, whether that's about resources or attention to those issues. And we're still trying to do that now here in New Zealand. With one of the things of moving back to New Zealand is we're really thinking about how to make some of these connections, both for young Maori and Pacific Island people, which is really my interest, into some of these global activities, and also to enable them to see a place to themselves in that space. I think that's really important. And I think the issues we work on are really about sustainability, and that sounds like a kind of a wonky term, but it's really about having food available that is healthy and nutritious, generally trying to reduce the amount of imported food that is coming into places. And that's a lot about the cost of doing that. But issues around water, we can see both in New Zealand and also in many Pacific Island countries, there's issues around water, things like energy, the cost of energy, both actually here in New Zealand, but also in the Pacific is really enormous. So looking at what are the other options, what are some of the common objectives that islands can have together. Yeah,
and how receptive have our governments in the region been to that? One of the things... Ahead.
No, you go.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking about, you know, it's good to get our locals growing local crops, but then, you know, annually a cyclone would come along and wipe everything out, and, you know, it's then having to regrow and rely on perhaps aid from outside, which is unavoidable in some of those cases, don't you think?
It's very true. I mean, but there's some countries like Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, Vanuatu, where they have not less food imports from outside. Or a lot of other islands, like Hawaii, is importing 90% of its food from outside of Hawaii.
Wow.
It only has, it only has about 4 days to a week if food doesn't come in the ships before it's starting to have food problems. So that is not sustainable. And it's also not healthy. But it's those kind of looking at those issues. There's lots of examples where islands are trying to change that. You have both at the political leader level, but also, you know, there's a lot of ingenuity in islands. And I think we can see it in New Zealand in island people, their resilience, you know, how we're getting through COVID and other issues like that. But also, there's lots of ideas and thinking about how to address some of these issues that is going on all over the Pacific and other islands in the world. And part of what we need to do is share the stories of those and figure out how to better support the people that are actually trying to do something. And then also about a narrative change of moving away from seeing islanders and islands as kind of less than or small, developing those words, and to kind of, you know, where are the strengths of the islands, and there are so many. And why do people want to go to islands? So many people do. And so that's the philosophy of our partnership there. There's lots of solutions. We need to check them. We need to connect political leadership to that, so there's ongoing support. And then we need to lift up these voices and advocate for our issues, whether it's in the UN, whether it's in New Zealand, other countries, whether it's amongst the diaspora of those places, or even other places, even to islands themselves, to really encourage them to believe that they can do these things.
Absolutely. Global Island Partnership. Now, from my reading online, it is sort of more in northern of Polynesia. Are you trying to get more engagement with some of our South Pacific region to become involved in the organization?
Yes, definitely. We have members that are in the North Pacific, and part of that is because we were founded by the president of Palau, last president of Palau, President Rumengasau, and also the president of the Seychelles. So they wanted a new initiative that would be global to help islands work together, particularly on the issue of political leadership. And we have had quite a lot of interaction with islands in the South Pacific, including Samoa, but definitely we could strengthen that. Yeah.
Now, with the speaking of the president of Palau, what do you think the impact of the Micronesian countries leaving the Pacific Islands Forum will be on the PIF?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly unfortunate what's happened. Actually, Ambassador Zakio is on the board of our partnership. So that's the representative for the Marshall Islands. And I know him very well. We were both based in Washington, D.C. Really great chap. I think it's going to be really difficult because we're kind of making there be a kind of U.S.-affiliated Northern Pacific and a differently affiliated Southern Pacific. And I think we really all have to think about how to reconnect that and how to maintain this very strong voice on Pacific issues that the Pacific Island Forum had. I don't really have the solution on that, to be honest, because, it's obvious that the line has been drawn and there's going to be that separation. And I think that other countries are looking at kind of what the opportunities within that context. But it is, you know, at this time when our region is dealing with huge threats, including climate change, obviously, which they've advocated strongly for everywhere. COVID, the pandemic, and other geopolitical issues that are very prevalent in the Pacific, including, you know, issues around China and others. It's really important that countries are able to stay together, because together we're stronger than split off groups. There's almost no doubt about that. But I also, at the same time, really understand why that happened. And I think part of the problem is not meeting in person. It makes it really difficult to solve this before it becomes kind of an open wound. I feel like if the leaders had been together in person, we wouldn't be in this situation.
I think you're absolutely right. I think face-to-face things would have worked out differently. We're quickly running out of time, unfortunately. For us who are listening, seeing the work of Global Island Partnership, we think it's a huge multinational organization. I've got nothing that I can offer, that I can do, that's going to help the work that you do. Is there something that we can do to make our islands more resilient and sustainable?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think firstly, it's making sure that aid and things that are coming out of New Zealand are appropriate. Not just New Zealand, but also Australia, because these are kind of major donors into the Pacific. And that are they're targeted towards the right approaches that are very much island-driven, and that there is accountability for the impact of that of those actions. So, as your audience is based in New Zealand, they have a very strong role in that, and I think that's really important. Really understanding what New Zealand is doing, what New Zealand's policies are, and also Australia's. In the region, I think are really important as people that are New Zealand citizens. But on the other side, it's really thinking about what type of education people are doing. It's really important that we have doctors, that we have lawyers, but it's equally important that there are Pacific Island scientists, there's Pacific Island, all the types of things that are going to help the battle on climate change, the battle on the what's going on in the ocean. We need our own people from the Pacific to be the people leading the solution on that. And so we really need to encourage people to widen their thought on what is going to be helpful and what is a great forward profession for Pacific Island students as they come into these places. And I say that I'm eating dinner with a young Pacific Island student evening, and so we'll talk about that. But yeah, so it's really encouraging that, and also, you know, I personally, I want to make sure that young Māori and Pacific Islanders are connected to all of these things if they want to be. That there's a pathway for them in the work that we do, that they can see themselves as people that represent this country in places like the United Nations and others, that they're taking their place. And I, you know, just having been here for the last year, I see so many amazing young people from both Māori and Pacific Island areas. And yeah, I want to help make them. And I think that's also something that you can do. It's it.
Absolutely. Executive Director of Global Island Partnership, Kate Brown, thank you so much for your time, for the work that you do on behalf of our community, and of course, changing the culinary habits of the tangata whenua there in Tauranga.
Please come visit us.
Yes, we'll do. Take care. Thank you. And we'll talk again soon. If not in person, in the sight of Aumu and Palusami, then on air again.
Awesome.
You're listening to Early Edition with Ed.